Father, let me only speak what comes from you. We just thank you, Father, that you've made us all equal. No matter what our challenges in life, no matter our skin color or our orientation, you accept us fully and created us that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Michael, because of time, you can put the disclaimer up, and then we're going to go to the second presentation. We're not going to do the NAMI one. So I have to read this to you. Because today, we're talking about mental health, good mental health in the church. So it says here, Pastor Tom is not a doctor or a health professional.
Do you play on TV?
Sure you want that video off YouTube today? The purpose of this presentation is to promote a broad understanding and knowledge of various health topics. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek, and I got these vitamins for sale too for later. Just always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you may have read or seen in this presentation here. It can't sue me now. Okay. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor Tom, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I have a mental illness. But don't worry, I'm well-medicated. I won't get you. Part of what God is doing in the body of Christ is bring transparency and realness to the pulpit. And it has to start here, because we have for so long made the church members come in and pretend to be someone they're not and hide all their issues. And I would hide them too, because the church will attack you if you have any issues, right? You have to put on your mask when you come in the church. No pun intended. I like this mask much better than the mask sometimes you see in the church, where everyone's smiling and you know their home life is just a mess, or they're going through something. God can't heal us, deliver us, or give us comfort when we're in denial of things we have, right? God wants you, you know, God, I have this problem, I need your help, what do I do? And God may say, you go get medicine, or you go see the doctor, or I'm gonna heal you, or I'm gonna do both at the same time. There's all these different options that God has for us. So, somebody notes here, the church in general has sidelined believers that have mental health challenges and have treated them like less thans. It's another group. This church is called to the less than. This church is called to people who have been disenfranchised from the church. So that's why I expose myself and say I have a diagnosis and I take medicine for it. And there's no shame in it. You can be a pastor. You can be a professional. You can do anything you want. You know, you may have to take some medicine, go get some therapy. Go do it. I've seen too many times in the church, especially the charismatic Pentecostal church, which we are, I am, has told people, don't go to the doctor, God will heal you. I waited 20 years, never happened. And God finally says, go to the hospital. And I did, and it worked out wonderfully. You know, we have to be really careful because we're dealing with two different things. God heals us, yes. But you can stop your treatment when your doctor says, yeah, you're actually healed. We don't just assume we're healed. We need verification through the medical community, right? And guess what? Sometimes God gives us a burden in life. God gives us a challenge. This life's a test. It ain't easy for any of us. Every one of you have some challenge, something we hide, we don't like to talk about, some insecurity. I believe God allows that to stay there so we overcome. Otherwise, we never grow. We never overcome. We stay in the same place, and we become stagnant, right? So this presentation is to help you understand your neighbor, to help you at an elementary level understand the challenge and the challenge that they're going through and relate to them and accept them as equal, because they are. This church, you can aspire to be anything you want. I don't care what problem you have. It's all God. What does God say? All things are possible. All things are possible. And let's talk about being crazy for a moment, because I think you're all crazy if you believe in what we believe in the scriptures. We believe in the talking snake in the Garden of Eden. We believe that all animals paired up in twos and found the ark and boarded it without coaxing. I believe it. Some people don't believe that. They have other rationales, but I believe it. We believe a man with a big stick part of the large sea. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in a God we can't see. Now, some of you may have seen a vision of Jesus. I don't know, but I haven't seen him. I take it by faith, and most of you do too. So the world already thinks we're crazy. So join the club, you know, join the club. Today's scriptures, some of what I'm going to talk about today is just the common, because the first step is education, right? We have to know, you know, Hollywood makes this huge, horrible portrayal of people with mental illness. They'll put someone on there, they're bipolar, and they're, in the movie they're killing everyone and all this crazy stuff, right? We need to understand all the different types or the most common types of mental illness. Before we go there, though, I want to read you some scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:6-8. Going back to that burden sometimes God gives us. This is the Apostle Paul. Even if I chose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. What does that mean? God didn't take it away from him. And that's the Apostle Paul. Many biblical scholars either believe Paul had undiagnosed depression or bipolar. Sometimes if you read his scriptures, he's kind of all over the place too. So we can kind of see it in some of his writings. The word thorn in the Greek in the concordance means a bodily annoyance. Mental illness is a bodily annoyance. It affects your mind, right? It affects how we feel physically. It does a lot of these things. Let's see. Bodily annoyance or disability. Actually, in the concordance, says disability, okay? Let's read 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. Say, I'm peculiar. Turn to your neighbor, say, you look peculiar. And I'm a little nervous. Believers are particular people. If you look at the charismatic Pentecostal churches, peculiar people all over the place doing all kind of things, yeah. You know. Revelation 3:12. So what does that mean? I have a thorn in my flesh. I'm a peculiar person. So what am I supposed to do with this thorn in the flesh? And it says, Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh, say overcometh. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of God. The one that has to overcome. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is in Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my name. Okay? So, what are we here to do on earth? We're here to overcome. No matter what issue we're dealing with, God has allowed it to be there so we can grow and we can help other people when we learn to overcome certain aspects of a challenge, okay? One thing I want you to realize is that you are not alone. There are resources to help you. We will try to help you. We will point you in the right direction. You are equal, you're not less than. You are accepted, you are special. And most people who have mental illness are very, very smart people. They actually have very high IQs, so you shouldn't feel bad. But what I want to do right now is go through just some common things and explain them with a little humor. This cat doesn't look like she's having a good session at all. He must have revealed some she didn't want to hear, but some common types of depression and the rate, I wish I had my facts, the rate of diagnosis, so there's so many people now that are on medication are dealing with this. The world, we weren't really meant to live in this crazy, stressful world that it is today. And so our bodies are like, oh my God, you know, I'm having all these feelings, and sometimes we have to have a little, Pastor Stenny called it, sometimes some of us need a little extra help, a little extra pill, or a little extra therapy, right? So here's some of the diagnoses. We're going to go through each one. Depression, bipolar, there's more than 4 different types of bipolar. ADHD, anxiety and panic attacks, OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, schizoaffective schizophrenia, addiction. I had Asperger's syndrome. It's not considered, it's considered developmental, not mental, but there's a lot, we have a lot of people that deal with that in the church too. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the next slide. Depression. So what's depression? A lot of us think, well, I feel depressed sometimes. There's normal depression that just maybe we've gone through a loss in our lives. We lost a job. That's not this depression. This is more of a clinical depression where you can't get out of bed. It's so bad that, and the world looks so dark to you, you can't get out of bed. You're physically disabled from the depression. And most of this information I'm reading is from Mayo Clinic, or you can go to NAMI.org, and all this information is listed here, and more than I could ever put into a slide presentation. So look at that baby boy, he's so cute. Depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest, also called major depressive disorder or clinical depression. It affects how you feel, think, and behave, and can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. You may have trouble doing normal day-to-day activities, and sometimes you may feel like life isn't worth it. And we know from watching the news and people, some people choose to do the wrong thing, which is to leave this earth, and we're not to do that. If we see someone has depression, we should be helping them, referring them to resources, most mental illnesses is because chemicals in our brain aren't working right. And sometimes medication helps that. The church has said, oh, no, you don't need any of that. Well, would you tell someone with cancer not to go get chemotherapy? Because some of these diseases are just as deadly because of the end result of people taking their lives. So it's important to separate the person from the chemical problems going on, right? Bipolar, lots of different diagnoses. Bipolar disorder, formerly called manic depression, is a mental health condition that causes extreme mood swings that include emotional highs, which are called mania or hypomania, and lows, causing depression. Again, sometimes you get excited because you get a new job. That's not mania, that's just excitement. Manic people are excited about everything when they probably shouldn't be. They're just as happy, but they could be followed by depression a month later or the next day. When you become depressed, you may feel sad or hopeless or lose interest and pleasure in most activities. When your mood shifts to mania or hypomania, less extreme than mania, you may feel euphoric, full of energy, or unusually irritable. These mood swings can affect sleep, energy, judgment, behavior, and the ability to think clearly. Now, I want to give you a little thing that I learned. I drew this morning. I don't think I did too bad, actually, my little waveform. So here's how to understand bipolar people and how they operate. So the black line is the baseline. No one lives there. Okay, this is moods. Jesus has that perfect mood.
Right.
But honey, you won't till you get to heaven. So none of you are going to be in the black area, okay? I don't want to say the word normal. Average people that don't have bipolar disorder are more the green line. We have our ups and we have our downs, but it's pretty, even keeled, unless the life event might affect that. And then there's a bipolar roller coaster, which you'd be happy one day, sad the next, all over the place. And medicine therapy will help bring you closer to that green line, but it's always something you're going to probably struggle with. But there's hope. There's medicine, there's therapy, there's things like that. This is the easiest way to, because people are very confused on bipolar and what it is. It used to be called manic depressive order. It often gets misdiagnosed as depression, because you don't always see the manic side. So does this make sense? Does this kind of help people with what bipolar is and isn't? ADHD. Does anyone know what ADHD is? Without reading the slide. Attention deficit disorder. So what is that? Adult attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a mental health disorder that includes a combination of persistent problems such as difficult paying attention, hyperactivity, impulse behavior. Adult ADHD can lead to unsustainable relationships, poor work or school performance, low self-esteem, and other problems. Mainly you'll see people that will struggle with paying attention, staying focused on one task, like people who have a hard time completing tasks. I can say this. President Trump is probably ADHD. There's no filter. He just thinks and speaks. So there's no natural filter like usually we think before we speak. For ADHD people, it's a little harder. They'll just say what they're talking about. And again, usually controlled by medications and therapy. And so, again, what I'm trying to do here is not Thought, oh, it's so horrible. But so you can understand people that deal with these things and recognize them and help. Now, we all have anxiety, and we all go through different degrees of anxiety. Clinical anxiety is persistent, kind of all the time, a nagging anxiety, and probably a hard, very hard thing to live with. And versus panic disorders, I've had a panic disorder. I haven't had it in a long time, but I had a panic attack. I did have one about a year ago. But when we were in, we were on a plane on our way to Israel, and I had a panic attack on the plane. They had evacuated me down the tarmac. We ended up at where did we land, honey?
Philadelphia.
That's where we landed there, and we're supposed to fly to Israel. And I'm on down the tarmac with the paramedics, and we had to go to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. It feels like you can't breathe. It's not like anxiety, it's just I'm nervous. Panic attacks, I can't breathe, I'm having a heart attack, and things start going dark. So
Percentage vacation, you were in the hospital, and I was in a seedy hotel in a bad part of Philadelphia.
That rerouting was very interesting. We got rerouted and stayed in the bed and breakfast. The lady had dolls all over the house and Christmas trees, and she hid her partner down in the cellar. It was bizarre, but that was just a total sidebar, but it was very that didn't give me a panic attack. I don't know what wouldn't, but it was interesting. But I think everyone knows what anxiety and panic attack, and again, medication therapy can help with that. And we can help people that are dealing with it by listening, right? Listening's the most important thing to do when someone's going through an episode. Listen to them and console them and get them to the right resources that they need. OCD. So OCD is an obsessive compulsive disorder. It features a pattern of unreasonable thoughts and fears, obsessions that lead you to do repetitive behaviors or compulsions. These obsessions and compulsions interfere with daily activities. I used to have this years ago. It was very bizarre. I'd have to keep going back in the house and checking the burners because I thought I left the burner on. But after six times, that's not normal when you keep going back in to check if the burner. For some reason, I don't have that anymore, but it can interfere with your life because you're constantly checking on things that you forgot or left. And again, medication can help you with that as well. It depends, like, what colors you're separating. No.
If you have the blue ones, that's normal.
Yeah. Consult. I am not a physician. Consult a therapist for that. No, I'm just kidding.
I met somebody who emotionally went to the emotional OCD. It wasn't physical. Mm-hmm. She wanted everything to be just so emotionally. It was kind of a order of the way she
was. Wow. Yeah. OCD can go into what's called ruminating thoughts, where you obsess over a certain thought constantly about maybe someone said something, well, what do they mean by that? And you'll obsess on that thought for hours. Yeah, that's kind of related. I'm not sure how it relates, but there's a connection. Yeah, and that can be very tormenting to have to deal with that thing. So we want to get people help. The big scary word, schizophrenia, or schizoaffective and schizophrenia. So this one most definitely requires medication. And the hard thing within the community is to get people on medication because of the paranoia that goes along with these. They're paranoid of doctors and medicine sometimes. So it's very hard to convince them to get treatment. Now, eventually you can when you work with them and they're loving towards them. But that's one of the reasons we have a lot of homeless people that have schizophrenia is that they're paranoid about getting help. There's two kind of disorders in this area. Schizoaffective disorder is a mental disorder in which the person experiences a combination of schizophrenia, such as hallucinations, delusions, and mood disorder symptoms, such as depression or mania. The two type of schizoaffective disorders, both of which include some symptoms of schizophrenia. So it's like a combo. You get a little schizophrenia, and then you get a little bipolar, and you get schizoaffective. So not totally this and not totally that, but the combo. Schizophrenia is more full-blown, which is a severe mental order in which people interpret reality abnormally. Schizophrenia may result in some combination of hallucinations, delusions, and extremely disordered thinking and behavior that impairs daily functioning and can be disabling. Are you stretching? Do you have a question, honey?
I'm stretching.
Okay, you're stretching. Okay. Everyone pray for Mike right now while we're ministering to, because he's got a lot of back pain. He's going through and forgot his pill this morning, so he's back there suffering. So we want to pray for him after the service today, too. So people with schizophrenia, you got to pray. You got to pray that they'll listen and seek help and get help. And they can have, medicated-wise, they can have a full life. They really can. But it is a disabling disease, and it's another one you have to be patient with them and pray with them and pray for them that they will seek out help. You know, some of these disorders, it's because we're a spirit-filled people in this congregation, right? We believe in hearing God's voice. We believe in prophetic. We believe in these things. So for people dealing with this, they have to filter. What am I hearing that's God's voice, and what am I hearing that's my disease? And having to separate those can be a thing you have to learn over time, and what God's voice sounds like. That's important about that we teach how, what does God sound like? What direction does God give versus something that's not from God, right? So addiction. Addiction is a mental illness. It is a disease, both drug and alcoholism. You will find that most people, in my experience, who use drugs or alcohol are self-medicating. They have one of those diagnoses we just talked about, and because they don't really realize it, subconsciously they go and drink or take drugs to medicate themselves to try to get themselves even killed. Manic people drink to bring themselves down. Depressed people take uppers to go up. You know, they start self-medicating. And so a lot of time in the hospitals, they have what's called dual diagnosis. They'll get you into a treatment program, but also test you to see if you may have one of the other diseases so they can treat both things. And sometimes by treating the diagnosis, the drinking and drug problem goes away because they're receiving the proper medication and not other substances. Okay. Okay, Asperger's syndrome. Another thing that we're learning about is a pervasive developmental disorder that is widely described as a mild form of, it's in the family of autism. Okay, people with AS tend to have many of the social and sensory issues of those with more severe forms of autistic disorder, but have an average to above IQ. They're very, very smart individuals. And vocabularies. They often have trouble picking up subtle forms of communication like body language, humor, and sarcasm. Okay? So that's one I'm still kind of learning about. I'm learning about different things. Again, it's not considered a mental disorder. It's considered a developmental disorder. So that's a little bit different, but because we're seeing it more out there and people are wanting to know about it, I thought I'd bring it up as well. And that's basically the disorder that I wanted to go through. There's lots of other ones. And I spoke about the ones I'm most comfortable and I know about. I didn't want to go into areas where I really didn't know. The thing is, we have to listen to God and do what God's telling us to do if we suffer from one of these. Most of the time, it's go to the doctor. Go to the psychiatrist and get help and therapy. Please don't go into healing lines year after year like I did, hoping to be healed. If he heals you, he'll heal you the first time. You know, God is a God of wisdom, and he gives us wisdom. He could heal you. He may heal you of one of your ailments, and you may, you know, like I said, sometimes God allows burdens in our lives that we have to carry on, and we have to overcome. And once we overcome them, you can do what I'm doing now. I struggle with it still, but I had to overcome my diagnosis. And I'm up here, and I'm running a church, so you guys can do anything you want, you know. But you have to deal with the thing. You can't just ignore it. If you got a flaw in your flesh, you just let it sit there? You got to, you know, medicate it, do what you need to do, get out the, you know, the alcohol wipes. I don't know what you do for a thorn. But it's a, you know, we're talking about probably a disease with Paul. And really, that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. We've had, since we started this church 5 years, from scandals to here, we've had almost always a portion of our congregation deals with these issues. We've had people that come in. We've learned a lot through the whole experience. Timothy, who I talked about last week, who had schizoaffective disorder, wonderful young man, doing wonderful now with his parents. He's on medicine. Having a good life, you know, there's hope, and it's not the end of the world. You know, we all have something to deal with. Maybe you have, not everything is a mental disorder either. Sometimes you just have really a bad childhood, and maybe therapy can help, and not therapy from your pastor or your church. Now, that's weird for me to say, but professional, preferably secular. The reason I say that, I've been in both. And secular therapy tends to get to the issue and deal with it, where Christian therapy doesn't always hit the button. The Christians don't like going after the issue, and sometimes you just need someone. I had a therapist in Long Beach. She was completely New Age, and she was really good for a while, but then she wanted me to get these soft bats and you fight people with them and all this weird things. I'm like, I'm out of here now. I got what I needed from her. I'm going to move over here to this Christian therapist. So you can augment, you know. You can work things out like this. And there's no the thing that I want to address this morning is there's no shame. And in this church, you can take off your mask. In this church, you can be out as a gay person. You can be out as a mentally ill person. You can be out about your HIV status. And God forbid anyone judge you in here, because I'll get them, right? Amen. I'm not going to allow it. Amen?